cord to this computer.
What a good group.
What a great group. All right. Okay, a few people streaming in. Just give us a few seconds here. Some people's internet's slow and streaming in here.
See Muhammad, he's a guy, he does great on Amazon. He was teaching me a few tricks.
Nice.
Welcome
Nice.
in. Welcome.
Welcome everyone. All right, guys, we're gonna get going here. People are still coming in, but we're gonna get going here. I'm gonna read my long, boring intro, and then we'll get to the fun stuff then, okay? With no scripts. Hello, inventors and entrepreneurs. My name is Andrew Krauss. I'm one of the co-founders here at Inventor Groups of America, or IGA. Type your name into the chat if you're new to say I'm new, so we can welcome you. Just write I'm new. Also, for those of you that are new or returning, we'd like to hear your name and what state or country you're from. So that would be great. So go on over to the chat right now and open up at the chat at the bottom of your screen and let us know. They seem to have changed where the chat button is sometimes. So if you don't see it right at the bottom, you might need to click on the three dots to find it, but you should be able to find it pretty simple. IGA was founded by Stephen Key and myself to teach individuals how to best commercialize their product ideas, as well as strengthen and support inventor groups throughout the nation. As many of you know, Stephen Key and myself also run InventRight, where we coach inventors to license their products. Everything we do here at IGA is currently free. Yes, I said free. We got a lot of free webinars and stuff we do. IGA also has a directory of local and regional inventor groups on our website. If you're located near one, we highly encourage you to join. Please do not disclose anything that is confidential and is not already publicly available. This meeting is being recorded and will be harnessed on our website and our YouTube channel soon. If you have any questions for us, please type them into the chat as they come to you. We'll be doing some Q&A at the end and maybe during the meeting as well. So don't wait until the end. Something comes to you, just go ahead and type it in the chat, okay? Our speaker today is Stephen Pope. He is the founder of My Amazon Guy, a 500 plus person seller central agency out of Atlanta, Georgia. Stephen's team of seasoned Amazon experts helps brands optimize their listings to succeed on Seller Central. We learned about Stephen from his YouTube show, where you can find him by searching for My Amazon Guy. Our co-founder, who is also a Stephen, so I might be saying Stephen P, Stephen K here, just for simplicity. Found Stephen Pope on Amazon. He said, I got to get this guy. I got to get this guy to speak to IGA. So I'm sure you guys will be equally excited to learn what Stephen Pope, aka My Amazon Guy, has to share with you. Welcome, Stephen. Both
Thanks for having
Stephen.
me, everybody. Great group of people. Ben's got the best wave, though.
Well, let me jump in here. Welcome, everybody. This is kind of exciting for me, and I think it's probably exciting for you because how many times have you thought about, hey, I've got this great idea, I've got this invention, and maybe I don't want to license it. Yes, Andrew, I said that. Maybe I don't want to license it, but I want to start a business, and I want to sell on Amazon. And I can tell you, I think all of us have thought about it once or twice because selling on Amazon, I'm going to get the full retail hit, I think. Maybe not the full retail hit, we'll find out. But I can control it and I can start my own business. I can order inventory and sell it, and I can be in business like now. So I'm curious about this whole process. So, Stephen, thank you for coming on. And maybe you could shed
My
some
pleasure.
light on I've got this great invention. I want to sell on an Amazon. What should I do? What's the first thing I should do?
So if you're going to produce and manufacture your own product, you need to go find a manufacturer location that's going to produce it. And that's a very challenging, several month long process. After that, you're going to go open up an account on Amazon. Seller Central is what it's called. And it's a complex, dynamic process of taking your product, loading it into the portal, then starting some marketing, driving some traffic, working on optimizing the listing to improve the conversion, and hopefully it sells. So there's a lot of techniques we can talk about and a lot of challenges that you'll face along the way. And even Amazon experts, supposed experts like me, we make mistakes along the process all the time. So I love sharing some of the challenges that I've experienced to help you guys avoid those challenges, because they are very taxing. Multi-thousand dollar mistakes can be made. So wherever you guys like to focus the conversation, I know Steven's going to drive most of the questions today, but I find it way better for you guys to tell me what you are interested in hearing about. Love those questions, so I can directly answer those as we're talking today.
Wonderful. Guys, put them in the chat, please, and we'll find them. Steven, you know what was really interesting? I was watching your YouTube channel. You've got over 2,000 videos. Congratulations. I think they're amazing. Thank you. But you had this one video that I just loved, because you're talking about you're still selling product today. I know you have an agency, you help people, but you're selling your own product today. And you talked about things that you did well and things you kind of screwed up. And I was really surprised that you were so honest and transparent about that. Talk a little bit about that.
I like to joke that I run an education company that happens to be an agency. And what I have found is that the more I share, the more I talk about my journey and every step along the way, the richer it makes me, right? And so my model is, brutal honesty and talking about the challenges, and it's created a following for me. So it's a self-appreciating model for me. But it's also just, it's freeing, right? So on Black Friday last year, I was selling these tumblers on Amazon, and I'm a big lover of Star Wars. I love parody. And I got all of my tumblers removed off of Amazon. So one day I woke up Black Friday weekend and boom, there goes half of my entire private label business. And it took me a long time to figure out what Amazon had a beef with. Like, they wouldn't tell me specifically. So Amazon's very much a shoot first, ask questions later company. And they have a lot of untransparent policies. And so when I've gone through this process, and by the way, those tumblers never came back up. I lost $250,000. That's the bottom line. And the entire parody tumbler business on Amazon is dead now. Right? Like, nobody can do it. So I was half of the market share, and now I'm 0% on that front. And so there's other products that I've sold along the way. I tried to figure out how to manufacture holsters out of the Carolinas. We had a clothing line, sold soaps. I started naming brands after my kids. I've got 5 kids. I wanted to give a brand to each of my kids. It was just a passion project for me. But I got to tell you, during the downs, the lows on Amazon, they're pretty low, right? There is some grueling things, and we're with a group of inventors, and all of you are going to experience highs and lows, and your why that gets you through those lows must be really important, right? So, for me, my ego's up here. I can solve all these world problems. I'm going to run through brick walls. And so when I hit those lows, I channel my passion. I channel my frustration. So, one day I'll log into Amazon and it's like, oh, you sell pesticides. I currently sell tweezers. I don't sell pesticides. You must pass this pesticides test to continue selling on Amazon. And I'm like, this is so stupid. Why is Amazon doing this? So then I take the test myself. I learn how to pass it. It takes me a couple hours. And then I release the answer key online because I knew that 50 other sellers were going to freaking need that this week. And so it's just my way of sticking it back to Amazon. By the way, that answer key still works. That'll happen to some of you. So if you need that, just Google answer key pesticides when you get there. And so just small things like that, add up. I'll give you one more example. So I wanted to launch a hot sauce on Amazon. So I spend $1,500 with a labeling company just to get the label right. And it's a sweet heat hot sauce. Nobody had sold a sweet heat on Amazon before. And I can see Steven, he's watering. He's like, oh, hot sauce, this is my thing. And so I perfected the formula and I had a great product. I order my 1000 MOQ, minimum order quantity, right? And I ship it into Amazon. And at the time, this was 4 or 5 years ago, I was doing this out of my garage, right? I'd already tried retail arbitrage. I'd bought wholesale and retailed it on Amazon. And this was a very unique private label launch for me. Most of you are going to probably choose to go private label because you've invented a product. Some of you will dabble in other models, and I can answer questions about those, but primarily most of what I talk about today will be private label. So I ship in these 1,000 bottles. This is a 5-pound glass bottle. I pay Amazon to do the prep work. So they wrap it with bubble wrap, they throw the sticker on, and I'm off to the races. I do this big launch. I have everybody in my network buy a product from me, my brother, my parents, my grandparents, my neighbor's neighbor, you name it. And then I launch. And on the first day, I start getting text messages. And I open the first text messages from my brother, Matt. And it's just a picture of glass shards and hot sauce. And I'm like, what am I looking at, bro? And he's like, they shipped it out in a padded envelope. They shipped it out in a padded envelope? It's a 5-pound glass bottle. I paid them to do the prep work. And I get 20 more text messages over the next few hours from everybody who'd bought from my network. And so, like, I'm a supposed Amazon expert, and I got caught with my pants down. And apparently, if Amazon can ship something in a padded envelope, even though it's a 5-pound glass bottle of hot sauce, they will. And I didn't see that one coming. So that's the first thing, first mistake I'm going to help one of you guys prevent from making is anything you want to get safely to the consumer, you need to do the prep work yourself. You need to box it in individual units ready to go before it gets to Amazon. Because if you don't do that, Amazon's going to cut some corners and it's going to surprise you.
Yes, Stephen, help me understand the, when you say private label. Let me understand that, because I come from, like, I've come up with this invention and I've got it manufactured. I've got 2,000 in my garage, but it's my invention. Tell me the difference between my invention and a private label.
Your invention can be a private label if you create a brand, right? So if you sell marshmallow sticks and you go to Alibaba and you buy marshmallow sticks and they're 12 inches longer than the competitor, and that's going to be your way to succeed, and that's like how you solve somebody else's problem because they didn't have it long enough, that's technically still a private label item because it's unique. You invented it. You went to market, you purchased a trademark potentially. I highly recommend everybody who wants to sell private label on Amazon to purchase a trademark. Steven, you're going to be the king of patents. I'm not going to answer patent questions tonight because you're going to know way more about that. I have filed 2,000 trademarks specifically for Amazon brands, and I can speak a ton about that. And to have a successful private label brand in 2024, you must have a trademark. Trademark can, on the low end, run you around $825. If you hire a direct private lawyer, could cost you as much as $2,000. So to build out that brand, you're going to create a trademark. This is my 5-year-old daughter, Sage. She likes her daddy time, and she's visiting. I think they just went swimming. So this was my daughter that I named the soap brand Age of Sage after. So we'll see how long she joins me. But in any case, a private label is a brand that you take to market, that you own the intellectual property of, and you're representing it directly on Amazon. And you could sell to somebody else who represents you as well. That's always possible as well. Similar to a licensing deal in a way.
So the private label can be a generic product that I repackaged it a little bit or gave a brand name, but I'm private label. That's my private label. That's what that means.
Yes. And you may also hear the term like white label, where yes, you just repackage it as well. That can still technically be a private label as well.
Okay.
Steve, I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but I read a fascinating article about Amazon with trademarks, and you get all these Chinese companies on there that have nonsensical trademarks. It's just a combination of letters. It makes no sense. And because they're trying to comply with Amazon's rules, and there's a reason why they do that. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it is very weird.
Yeah. So more than half of the sellers on Amazon today are Chinese based, and there's a bunch of free Chrome extensions that you can use. I personally use Helium 10, and that one costs like $100 a month. And you can see where the origin of a seller is. You can do this manually as well. And I'm happy to demonstrate this directly live. And I love live demos. They're kind of fun. So I'll share my screen here to do that if you guys are interested. So yeah. First of all, here's my Age of Sage project. Can you guys see the resemblance between the logo and my daughter here? Just a tiny bit. So that's her. So if we were to go on Amazon.com, somebody shout out an item. I'll type it in.
Kitchen cutting board.
All right, kitchen cutting board. And we're going to see how many of these are going to be Chinese sellers. And so the Chrome extension will jettison up a flag here, and we can see like what they're doing and who they are. So it looks like the flag's on the top. So American on the top four there. And then here we've got some Chinese mixed in with the US flags. So if we go to this item right here, and then we click on Phil Nguyen on the brand store name, right? And their brand name is Rotogoon, which is, you know, better than random letters, right? And we click on this, we can scroll down and see their business address directly out of China. So Amazon made a change about 18 months ago where they will display the address of the seller. So if you're going to file an LLC, just small piece of knowledge, and you list your LLC from your home, you're going to see your address live on Amazon. And not everybody's going to be comfortable with that. So you may want to have your S-Corp or LLC in one layer of protection, potentially. So some people will do that to avoid their direct address from showing. But you can clearly see this is a Chinese seller. And you can go in and click on anybody's seller name, sold by right here, and see that information in the buy box. This is what's called the buy box, by the way. So you can see the buy button right there. This is a brand store. And when you click on a brand store, it's going to go to what would be a website, but on Amazon that you control. And there's no ads. So it's very important you build a brand store. I'm going to go over to one of my products just to demo a tiny bit. You'll notice the main image is very unique. I did a lot of A/B testing to put this together. And so your packaging is incredibly important on Amazon. Highly recommend that you guys take time to build this so it's readable. Having a keyword very large on the packaging is going to be the best tip I'm going to give tonight. Best tip. A large keyword on the packaging will help your product sell and be clicked on. It's called CTR, or click-through rate, and will help you grow your traffic and improve your sales faster on Amazon than anything else we talk about tonight. So there's a really big public story about, I'll open up another tab here, orange dog cleaner. This was purchased by Thrasio, a multi-billion dollar company that just declared bankruptcy. What do you guys see on the front of the label there? That keyword right there, odor eliminator. Nobody cares about your brand on Amazon. Amazon is the brand killer. Some of you are not going to like that, by the way. Some of you are going to be like, well, branding's everything. And to an extent, you'd be true. But on Amazon, it's a marketplace. And so the consumer is not coming to Amazon to buy your brand. They're coming on Amazon to buy your solution. And that's a very big, you know, point to make. So odor eliminator, Thrasio, the multi-billion dollar aggregator that purchased this product like 4 years ago, maybe longer, all they did to this product when they purchased it was redo the packaging and water the product down. That's it. And they made the keyword gigantic, and they tripled the sales in like 4 months. So we run that play all the time. Big keyword on the packaging. There's another mistake I see a lot of people make, and that is overextending their variations. Let me show you the stupidest variation I ever made for my soaps, and it's this one right here, where I thought, oh, I'm going to create some teenager-friendly soaps and call it Lit Drip Bussin' and Vibe. Nobody bought that. And if you thought that one was bad, wait till you see Monkey Farts, Dirty Socks, Swole, and Pimple Popper. So hubris is going to be the killer of an inventor, right? In my opinion, you're better off launching multiple products in different categories versus trying to go deep. An inch wide and a mile deep on one product with variations will not generate as much sales, from my experience. In fact, it'll water down and cannibalize some of the other sales. So that was a big mistake I made. Lots of text and keyword research can be done. There's other design elements like a brand story, and you'll see some horizontal real estate, and I'm linking to all of my other products. There's a thing called enhanced brand content, where you're going to just showcase your product as much as possible. And the reason I show this is because on a website, your job is to take up as little space as possible and get them to that add to cart button at the top right there, that CTA. On Amazon, the opposite is true, because what do you see right here? Ads for every competitor ever. And the consumer is trained to click on them. And by the way, once you get a cease and desist letter from your number one competitor, Dr. Squash sent me a cease and desist. That's how you know your product line has made it. So if you're wondering how you know when you've made it, it's when you get the C&D. So we've got brand story right here. And then take up as much space as possible to push out the competitor ads from being showing on the listing.
So,
and then a product grid that links them all together.
Steven, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
In fact, I've got a couple before you open it up and we look at the chat. Why soaps?
It's because I saw an opportunity in the data. I thought it was a product that I would use in case it didn't sell. I would use it myself. I really hated going to China. It was not a great experience for me. I went to the Chinese fair. It's called the Canton Fair. I was looking for manufacturers, looking for product ideas. For those that don't know anything about that fair, it's a building the size of 3 football stadiums side by side. It's gigantic. And it was overwhelming. I didn't like the culture. I didn't like the bribery and the treachery that you have to go through to do deals. And it was just a foreign world to me. So I really wanted to manufacture something in the States. And beauty products are significantly easier to manufacture in the States. So that's why I chose that niche.
Okay.
And then I was able to reverse engineer, reverse source that there's only 3 soap manufacturers in the States. We got samples from all 3, picked the best one. And I was off to the races.
Okay. And why soaps again? What did the data tell you that you said, I want to jump into soaps?
Yeah. So I wanted to go stateside. That was very important. I wanted to manufacture locally. That was the most important thing to me. And then the data showed me that there was an available market for men's artisan soaps. So I may have a feminine character on the soap. That might be confusing, but I was trying to chase the demographic who would appreciate that. To be honest, I was chasing neckbeards and I was trying to hit a certain demographic that I thought would appreciate the kind of anime avatar, so to speak. One interesting note I'll position here. In politics, your job as a politician is to cast as wide of a tent as possible. And you want as many votes in your tent. In marketing, the opposite is true. In marketing, you need to push away as much as you pull. As one example to this, you wouldn't sell a dog treat to cat owners. You wouldn't sell a dog treat to cat owners or a cat treat to dog owners. And so if you have a product that could be sold to both markets, you don't have one product for all, you have 2 products. And you should divide them and sell 2 separate listings and market to dogs on one and cats to the other. You push away the cat owners on the dog listing, you push away the cat owners on the and the dog owners on the cat listing, et cetera. And then you by doing that, you attract the niche. And when they show up and I got a cat and I see a cat treat and I don't see any dogs on it, I'm more likely to purchase, improving your conversion rate. So I bought into the idea that my men's artisan soaps were my number one seller because of the data that I found. It was an underserved niche or market.
Okay. Can you tell me, do you ship it do you ship it or does Amazon ship it? How does that work? Because I know you could do it both ways, right? You fulfill it or they fulfill it?
You can, but I highly recommend to simplify your model as much as possible early on. And the best way to do that is to have Amazon ship it. It's called FBA, Fulfilled by Amazon. It will get you a Prime badge. It will triple your sales versus you shipping it yourself. And their fees to ship it are actually pretty competitive. Amazon is increasing fees. You'll hear a lot of people talk about margin shrinking. All of that's true. But FBA specifically is the secret sauce on Amazon, right? Like Amazon is a logistics company. They have solved 2-day shipping, 1-day shipping, Prime Now. You know, God bless the trash man that takes away all the brown boxes. I buy so much stuff on Amazon. And that's the thing. Like there's 82% of U.S. households are Prime members. So if you don't use Amazon's logistics or fulfillment method, you are cutting out large portions of your potential purchasers.
So how do I stand out? One last question that I want to pull it from the audience, the chat bot, to chat. There's a lot of products being sold on Amazon, right? How many?
Yeah, you can buy unicorn meat on Amazon. You can buy a car. You can buy anything.
How do people find me?
Marketing. So your job as an inventor is to make a great quality product. And typically speaking, the engineers of the world do not make the best marketers. So the guys, I was good in school, but I got to tell you, the guys who are really good at marketing were terrible in school. And they were the class clowns. They were the ones telling jokes. Those people are typically a lot better at marketing and selling things. And so it's a very different world between inventing and marketing. And to go to market, you have to go, you have to pay to play, right? You're going to have to buy ads, pay-per-click advertising on Amazon, which, by the way, this is a fun fact. AWS, the marketing cloud for Amazon, has just been passed by Amazon's PPC program. Amazon makes more money selling ads today than they do on all of AWS combined. So that tells you how big the market is. Also, Amazon is like half the economy in the United States, and it's going to grow like another 4 or 5% next year on top of this year. So it's not topped out yet. It's definitely entering its maturity phase, and every product has a life cycle. We're definitely entering the maturity phase. No question about Amazon entering the maturity phase, but there's still time to execute and to still go in. Obviously, if you launched on Amazon 6 years ago, you'd be way better off. Same concept of planting a tree, but the next best time is today. And I'm going to be biased to say go sell on Amazon, but I'm also a realist and I talk about all the challenges that come along with that.
Stephen, can I hit some questions here in the chat?
Please.
Okay,
thank
good.
You,
this first one, I can't help but the comment before it. I mean, this is my comment. Maybe, Stephen, you don't agree. Assuming that Amazon will do everything right or that all their rules are transparent is
they're
naive.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Michelle says, how can Amazon remove your product? Question mark. Did they not see before it being uploaded? How did you lose them?
So Amazon owns the data, they own the catalog, and they can choose who is allowed to sell and who's not allowed to sell. So they ban certain things, they're hostile to certain categories, certain products cannot advertise on Amazon.com, and the lists on those exceptions are quite large. The safest category on Amazon is kitchen, home goods, outdoor, lawn and garden. Those are super safe categories. Still a safe category, but a little bit more difficult is apparel, just due to the size of the SKU counts. Once you start getting into supplements, grocery, challenges start stacking up. Supplements is the hardest category to sell on Amazon, except maybe tech products, because in tech products, it's a commodity business and it's all Chinese sellers. In supplements, there's a big lifetime value analysis. So Amazon can choose who's allowed to sell and who's not. And so at any point in time, they can take down your listings. Certain categories less so than others, more likely to happen or less likely to happen. And I got caught by surprise. I did not see that one coming. They just decided one day, we're gonna disable parody tumblers and you're out. Never once got an intellectual property violation. My account health was 1,000, which is 100%, and didn't have any way to fight the appeal process. I just was just one shot KO'd.
So when you have a distribution, you're running a company and you have distribution at certain retailers, the standard line of thinking is never put all your eggs in one basket. You know, when people will go on QVC, we'd always tell them, you can go on QVC, but if it doesn't sell, they're kicking it all right back to you. So you better have distribution somewhere else. But to me, how do you deal with the dangers of selling on Amazon and then one day they just kick you off and you've got all this freaking inventory and you don't have distribution anywhere else? You mentioned that cost you $250,000.
It did. So
wow.
I I do see the challenges of putting all of your eggs in one basket. And I made the bet to put all my eggs in the Amazon basket. It has, however, made me quite wealthy, and it's worked out for me. There's a concept of native-born Amazon brands. And for me, selling products on Amazon, when I first started out, in my best year on private label, I made $250,000 in net profit. In retail arbitrage, I'm going to beat that or exceed that. I have an account that does $8 million a year. Reselling goods with a 17% net margin. So you can do the math on that. So there are multiple models that work. My agency is my number one breadwinner. And so what I would do is I would use the frustrations of the selling the products on Amazon and then do content to help my clients and test everything for my agency. One of the biggest challenges or the consequences of doing that is that I put a target on my back and everybody was trying to take me out who didn't like me, right? Because you're going to, when you make content, you make friends, but you make some enemies, right? And so I got a lot of attacks. I got a lot of hijackers. And so a lot of people probably reported my products who didn't agree with me doing parody. So that's what happened to me. I would say that my story is a little bit more unusual, for an entire catalog to go down like that. Very few stories I hear about that, but it does happen. A typical average day Amazon seller will load their product to Amazon, will get frustrated by the process, will get a small hiccup, but they bring an expert in, fix it up, and they're back to the running and doing okay.
Hey, Stephen, could you talk, someone's asking about thieves. How do you protect yourself, or can you? From the knockoffs?
Limited protection available here. So if you succeed on Amazon, you are going to be knocked off. I guarantee it. But really why Amazon is so powerful. So we've already established it's half the economy, 82% are Prime members. You can't do anything remotely as easy or as fast or as scaled as you can on Amazon. So it's worth the risk. It's worth getting knocked off. It's worth getting all of the challenges and the margin issues. Because Amazon is a 10% conversion website. So that means for every 10 people that go to your product, one is going to buy on average. That's an insanely high conversion rate. There's all things we could complain about, high return rates, high fees. All those would be true things though. On your website, your average conversion rate is like 1% to 2%. So if you run the math and say, oh, I could pay $1 per click and I could send them to Amazon and I get 10% conversion, or I could pay $1 per click and send them to my website at 1%, 2% conversion, where's my marketing dollars going to go farther? And then if you turn off the ads on your website, your organic will go down to zero. But on Amazon, the opposite is true. You need sales to get sales, and you start to earn keyword rankings. Walmart is a completely different beast. You could do 10 times the amount of work and get 1/10 the return. Why? Because Amazon allows new sellers to leapfrog the rankings and whatever's the best customer experience rules there. But on Walmart, they push the retailer above you. So their in-store products go to the top of the search engine results, and your new product that's a native-born product cannot get to the top. So that's why Amazon's so attractive. So they have the largest marketplace. It's the fairest of all worlds, even though Amazon's a giant monopoly, and they make it fair. But I am here to tell you that if you make the next coolest toy ever, so we had a client named Zipstring. He did one of those websites where you do Kickstarter. He did one of those, and one of the guys in his Kickstarter ripped off his products. It's all public, and then started selling on Amazon, right? And this was before all the patents went through and everything else. So that is going to happen. Okay. And you just have to ride the product wave as long as you possibly can while you're getting ripped off, because first to market advantage is large and a huge advantage of the branding, right? So the more you invest in branding, the better off you'll be.
Okay. So I file a trademark. I copyright all my designs. So will that help me at all to report that to Amazon?
Yes.
Okay.
So you've got copyright law, trademark law, and patent law. So in order, you know, copyright's the weakest, but if you make an image and somebody else steals it, you can report them and they'll get yanked. They'll get taken down. Okay. If you have a trademark and somebody uses your trademark, I recommend word marks, not logo marks, specifically for Amazon, by the way, because a word mark is easier to protect and has more implications, more strength. And so if you trademark a really good term, none of your competitors can use that term. So Age of Sage, that was the trademark I put on the soaps, and easy to protect that. And then with patent, that's a whole different complexity or protection layer. The Chinese are still going to rip you off even if you file a patent. I want to be abundantly clear. But your protection mechanism is much stronger. And a utility patent, once you file a takedown on Amazon against somebody else's product, is I've never once seen somebody get back live after they've had a patent utility attack from a competitor. So it's a really good protection mechanism.
Stephen, I spoke to a company, and it's a law firm, and what they'll look for is an Amazon seller that has at least 10 to 20 knockoff companies selling something similar. And then what they'll do is they'll go after all of them and get like 5 or 10,000 from each one, get them to take it down, get the money, and then share in the proceeds with the Amazon seller that was getting knocked off. It's very odd, but and very interesting. But there's a breed of patent attorney that's doing that now.
So and it makes sense because the sellers are left scrambling and wondering what to do, and they do genuinely need the help. And so the culture of the Chinese culture is the number one best in the world at duplicating things. And that's what they do. They in America for the longest time, we're the best at inventing new things and scaling like awesome new projects, right? And you got a wonderful group of people here who represent the American invention dream.
Hey, tell me, someone's asked about how much, what does Amazon get to keep? What percent? How much are they making from your product?
After everything is combined, the sole sum total number will be around 33%. Okay. That is going to include a 15% referral fee right off the top. And then the remainder of that fees is generally logistics. And I usually pad somewhere between 10 to 13% for advertising. But 33%, give or take 1 or 2 points, depending on the category, all in, very common for most categories.
Okay.
So you have to pay very close attention to your profit margins.
Yeah, a typical average net profit margin on Amazon is running around 15%. And if you go from industry to industry, what would you find a typical net margin for most industries? Right around 15%. So it's a standard industry in that regard.
Interesting. Okay.
Stephen, how much product do I need to start? What's the minimum number?
I would go with 1,000 quantity personally, but there's many people that bootstrap 400, 500 units. Most manufacturers, though, they don't want to do anything less than 1,000 MOQ, minimum order quantity. Okay. But the more expensive your item, the difference the math can look like. I know a lot of people that try and manufacture out of their house on their first runs, and all kinds of complexity could come from that, 3D printers or whatnot, but it can be done. But you're trading one complexity for another, or you're changing scale out the window in some instances. But I think 1,000 units is a pretty safe bet. And if you think about an average unit costing anywhere from $1 to $5, you times that by 1,000, that's your typical starting cost of goods. And then on Amazon, you'll probably need twice as much as your cost of goods to invest in marketing and some of the other things, just to set a standard so you kind of know what to do all in. Can anything be done for less? Absolutely. Should it be? Most likely not going to succeed if you underinvest or underdevelop the product. But generally speaking, I tell anybody or I coach them out, if you would lose this investment and can't pay your rent or lose your shirt, don't do it. You'd be better off side hustling it slowly and putting in time over a couple of years versus trying to go all in and put all your chips in.
Lawrence has a specific question that's on this topic. I was seeing if Stephen Pope can help him out. It's on profit margins. Says, I've been selling my invention on Amazon for 4 years. I spent a lot of money on marketing in 2022 with little success. Currently, my income is 1/3 of the retail price, but when all is said and done, just covers costs. Looking for partners, your thoughts? What is he doing wrong? Does he just simply not have enough profit margin here, or
I don't know if I have a good enough read on that situation. I would love a little bit more context there. But there's all kinds of reasons why an Amazon brand fails. Profit margin is highly typical. Cash flow is another one. Not having the right marketing. So you might have a great product, you might have cash flow, but not having the right marketing to drive the traffic. And there's a lot of challenges that can come about from a variety of angles. When you sell on Amazon, you're running a full business, right? You can't one man band it past $1 million very effectively, right? Like possible to one man band it, but it just gets really hard at scale because of the complexities.
Let me see if I understand this. I'm selling soap and they're manufacturing here in the United States. I order 1,000, they ship it with the package on there, the graphics, everything looks great. Do they ship it to me or do they drop ship it to Amazon?
So drop shipping is prohibited on Amazon. And so you want to ship it into an FBA facility where they will hold it in their warehouse and then ship it out to the consumer. It is possible to have your own warehouse. You could also ship it out of your own garage, depending on the, you know, your capacity. And that would be considered fulfilled by merchant or FBM. But FBA, fulfilled by Amazon, is where you get the Prime badge. Highly recommended. You don't need a trademark or a patent to sell on Amazon or to go Prime. I saw one comment, that's why I mentioned that. But it's highly advantageous to have IP protection. You can file a trademark and get access to brand registry on Amazon in under 7 days. That wasn't true 3 years ago. And so it's now faster to get those IP benefits on Amazon instead of waiting that full, 6 to 9 months to get the trademark to go through the USPTO.
So the factory can ship it straight to Amazon.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Tell me about the marketing for just a minute. You kind of glossed over that. So I've got 1,000 items. I sent them to Amazon. How much money do I need now to kind of market it to get people to find me?
I would recommend a minimum budget of $4,000. But typically speaking, it's best to set a goal and work the math backwards. So if you have a goal to sell $100,000 a month by day 90, I would spend 15% of that in ads. I would spend 15 grand a month if your goal is to hit $100,000 in sales in 90 days. Do you have to start that day one? No, technically not. However, there's a concept called the honeymoon period on Amazon. And it's a period of time when you can accelerate your keyword rankings and get additional earned exposure that you don't have to pay for. And Amazon will reward you with things like number one, new bestseller, and they will also give you free traffic if you come in and in the first week burn out 500 units in sales. So showing up on Amazon, not doing the marketing, not paying for the ads, not optimizing the listing, and just showing up to have your product listed with a single image and throw a price tag on it, you're not going to move any units, like at all, unless you solve a huge problem that nobody can get access to the solution to otherwise. So you're better off having the listing closed, having all the ads set up, shipping an FBA, have the full designs built out like the soap listing I showed, and have it beautified, have it optimized, and then flip it live, and then have aggressive advertising dollars, because what you do in that first 30 days will absolutely leapfrog your success for the next few months.
Steven, I know that Amazon is, they're not a bunch of Boy Scouts, but at the same time, I think this question is a little bit overdone. William says, if a product happens to sell really well, doesn't Amazon often source it itself and put it on one of their Amazon basic yes. lines? I know there's a lot of stuff in the media about that, but half of Amazon would be Amazon basics and it's not. So, but do they also do it under other brands? How often does this happen? Or is it just played up in the media or a little bit of both?
There's a mixed bag answer on this. There is truth and elements in everything you just said. Would I worry about Amazon ripping my own product off? Probably not. They are focused on the most essential items, and they're starting to back away from this because of all the PR heat that they've taken. So there is an FTC lawsuit on this very topic. I guarantee you this will sit in the courts for 2 or 3 years. Whoever the CEO of Amazon is at that time, it's no longer Jeff Bezos, by the way. It's like Andy Jassy. And they'll pull him in. They'll grill him. They'll make a good PR stunt. They'll slap Amazon with a made-up billion-dollar fine of some kind and then tell Amazon that they can no longer launch new brands. And they'll call it anti-monopolistic behavior, right? And then some politician will win some extra votes. That's what's probably going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I don't see Amazon launching new product lines moving forward. I think that they've had to back off it for PR purposes more so than the courts. And they have announced closing of about 37 or more brands that they had private labeled directly. So they have Amazon Basics, they've got Elements, they have all kinds of additional products. They killed the battery industry. I don't know if you guys know that, but like the pressure they put on Duracell and Energizer by having their own battery line was insane. And then they would take their own product and advertise it on Duracell's direct listing and then not charge themselves ads, which was totally like the scummiest thing a monopoly does. So Elements of truth and everything Andrew just said, 100%. Now, most of us are going to be the million, $5 million sellers on Amazon, maybe even a quarter million, right? Depending on how niche the item is. The likelihood of Amazon or another knockoff product going after your product when there's millions of other opportunities is just a lot smaller than many people assume, though.
Hey, Steve, I've got a question for you. Let's talk about your agency for a minute. Let's say,
sure.
Do you do everything for me? If I have a product, will you take care of all of it? Do you teach me how to do it? Tell me about that.
So we're a full service agency. Typically, we will work with somebody from either the beginning or after they've sold on Amazon for a year or two, depending on budget or how aggressive somebody wants to go. We'll take a seller from zero to a million per month. We have many case studies where we've done that and made some brands publicly. What we do is we don't touch the product physically. So we're your digital marketing wing. Okay. So you guys source the product, you have come up with the product idea, and then you bring it to us and we take it to market. And then we'll load it and take care of all of the Amazon headaches and challenges. And the reason why this relationship typically works for inventors and for other brand owners is because the most valuable thing that they can do with their time, your time, is to go make more products. And so our job is to come in and make sure your products sell. And for every three products we generally work with, one will do really well, one will break even, and one will just be a total bust. And so if you think about that concept in the concept of threes, if you're a single product inventor, you've got nothing to lose, might as well try it. But if you have a line of three items, that's generally the math that I typically see for success. And so I personally try and launch in sets of three, and I find it to be the most economical, most cost-effective. But many people who are bootstrapping, I'm sure there's many people who are on this this webinar today that have full-time jobs and they're dabbling on the side. You got to start somewhere, right? Plant the small tree today. Just get your product listed. There's many best practices that I've said today that you won't be able to get to in your first year. That's totally normal. As long as you get started, you'll see your journey begin.
Right? Well, going back to what you were saying, Stephen, don't just get your product listed. You got to have the money to advertise it too, right?
Ideally.
Yeah.
Do you charge a percent of the sales or is it upfront fee? I mean, how is that all structured?
Yeah, I found that the thing that's worked the best for my agency's model has been to charge kind of a middle of the road retainer and a middle of the road revenue share. So if we were quoting somebody who was just starting, let's say they had three products, we would quote them somewhere around $3,500 plus 3% revenue share. We actually do have our pricing publicly listed on our website. So if anybody's curious, they want to put in some of their stats, maybe you're a current seller right now, you can do that. At myamazonguy.com, just click on the get quote button.
Stephen Key, this is a really good question. I think a lot of our audience will like, because, you know, we teach licensing at our other business. So a lot of you are licensing. Some of you are not in venturing, but this is a, I'm going to expand on William's question. William said, can we count on most licensees? These are large companies they license their product to for royalties, right? Can we count on most licensees having the exposure and skills to sell on Amazon as one of their sales channels? So my question to you, Stephen Pope, is when you're looking to license to a company and you're looking on Amazon to see if they got their act together, how can you tell if a company has their act together with regards to their Amazon sales? There's other methods for other retail. How can you tell if they got their, I'm going to say it, got their shit together? How can you tell?
How optimized the listing is and then how much the products are selling, right? So there's all kinds of free like information that's available and out there. You know, what's really interesting is that recently in the last like 6 months, Amazon started listing how much the unit is selling a month. And you can see that directly on the listing today. So that would be like the first indicator. So I think you have to hit a certain threshold before they show it. So I'm going to try and trigger this for you guys. So this is my bestseller right here. It should show on this one. So 100 bought in the past month right there. And that will show on the listings. You can also gauge it based on reviews, based on how optimized listings are, how many products are being sold by the company. So you can click on their brand store. So this is the brand store, and you can see like how optimized the listings are and, you know, what's included.
Okay. What do you mean how optimized the listings are? What does that mean for people that are new to this?
Yeah. So showing up with a full image stack with infographics, a customer avatar, videos being shot, right, parentage being built, you know, how much copy's in the bullet points. Do they have a brand story that says from the brand right there? Do they have A+ content? So some sellers on Amazon skip everything I just mentioned, and they can get some sales. But the best thing that's going to represent the brand is going to require optimizing every potential element to maximize the sales. The last thing that you could do, right? So if we go back to Amazon, we type in garlic press, right? You can actually see this. And Zule Kitchen is a very large kitchen brand on Amazon. And one of the things that they did was sell their item at the lowest possible price for lengthy periods of time. So one of the tools I use is called Helium 10. It's not loading fast enough for us for a live demo here, but they showcase the price over time, and you can see how often they update the price. And what I want to show is that, like, you know, right now they're at $10 because they're running a sale a little bit, but they launched this item at $7. And if you look at their other variations, right, and we look at some of these, they normally, it looks like they're actually running like a 50% off deal right now. But here's a case example of one where they don't have the deal, and it's at $20. They're the number one bestseller in garlic presses. They sell, you know, thousands and thousands of these every single, you know, month. Each variation, that one's got 600 units. You know, some of these have more than others. But you can see a lot of public data, and you can see, like, what they're doing. And just be prepared. Probably the second best tip I'll give tonight is when you launch your product, launch it at 50% off. And it's not that you're trying to run a sale, it's that you're trying to generate sales. So the concept on Amazon, you need sales to get sales. It's a weird circular logic statement, but once you break it down, it makes some sense. The more sales you get on Amazon, the more they reward you with real estate and more SEO rankings. Therefore, when you first launch the product, there's the honeymoon period, hit it hard, have as much advertising as you possibly can when you first get started. And by doing that, you'll have the most maximum gain early on. It's a lot harder to take a sleeper product that's been on the market for a year or two and try and get it to go up versus starting a product from scratch. So it's a starter advantage. Also, best time of the year to launch a product might be interesting to you. And that is November 1st through the Christmas season is the absolute best time to launch a product on Amazon. I love launching products in Q4. Some people are like, oh, that doesn't give you any time. And you'd be right. You have to be like super ready, and you'll stock out with the Christmas rush. And there's all those kinds of challenges. Those would be true. Next best time to launch a product on Amazon is just simply today. There's no second best launch window unless you have like a Mother's Day product launching May 1st or another seasonal type item.
Hey, here's a question from Jennifer. If you had to choose one source for your data marketing research, which one would it be?
I like Helium 10's data. Jungle Scout's another close, very common one for just getting started Amazon sellers. If you look up Helium 10 or Jungle Scout competitors, you'll find another 20 different tech tools. And the market is very commoditized. You can pick up a tech tool for under $100 a month and get access to tech that used to cost $5,000 a month on websites. So I used to pay $5,000 a month for Conductor Searchlight, which was an SEO tool for websites. And today you can get the same level of quality of data specific to Amazon for about $100 a month. It's a really remarkable thing that they do.
You really know what you're talking about, man. I feel like I could throw any question at you about Amazon and you would just rock it. I mean, you really, and I like that you share the upsides and the downsides and the real stories, and you're a lot like Steven and myself. It's amazing.
Well, I appreciate that. I ran a live AMA Q&A for 6 years, and it helps. It puts you on your toes. You always get one stumped question, though. It always happens.
Let's see if we can get that one question too. No, I've got someone asked about Shopify. Do you sell there?
I have struggled to get D2C going. So D2C, direct to consumer. Shopify is very good for certain types of products. You're going to need a lot heavier marketing budget to get going on Shopify than you will on Amazon. So Amazon, you can bootstrap. You could have, you know, $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 all in cost of goods and ads, and just dabble in the market, and you may succeed. Doesn't mean you will, but you may. On Shopify, you need a lot more than that. You have to build an email list. Your conversion rate is significantly less. Why would somebody go to your website is like the starter inherency question. Whereas they're already on Amazon. They're going to buy a product. They're there to buy an apple slicer. The question is are they going to buy your apple slicer? And so, you know, you just have to pick like what your goal is and work the math backwards. For some of you, you're going to leave this call and say, Amazon is evil and I can't trust them and I never want to touch it. And I totally would understand that. And for those people, Shopify is your next best bet. You could dabble on Etsy and you could go to the next, you know, bad guy a la Walmart, or you could go to the really evil bad guys, TikTok and Temu. But I really do hope somebody puts Amazon's monopoly on notice. But to be honest about it, I think we're 10 years away from seeing anybody come close to Amazon. And it's because of their logistics network. Like they built a football sized warehouse in 500 locations. Nobody can touch that. Walmart could have. They bought Jet like what, 7 or 8 years ago or something crazy long ago, and did nothing with it. Nobody's like, if we polled the audience right now, how many of you bought on Jet in the last year? We probably got a goose egg. Like nobody. Walmart's trying, but at the end of the day, they have the infrastructure, but they don't have the tech or the right branding stance.
What do you think about TikTok? I mean, I like the way it seems like everyday people are selling product. They use it. They like it. You can buy it. That's the one thing I've noticed that's pretty, it seems real to me. And then maybe, do people look at it there and then buy it on Amazon, or they buy it on TikTok?
Many people have you talked to that have bought stuff on Amazon? I've seen YouTubers interview, like talk about the products they bought on TikTok and how scammy they are and stuff. And they'll review stuff on TikTok. And Stephen Pope said it himself. It's pretty... Okay. But I don't know. You give us your opinion, Stephen.
I saw a stat today on LinkedIn. And 53% of people who've been polled have bought a product because an influencer mentioned it. And of those 53%, 92% of them bought it on Amazon. So if you get in the influencer game, you will most definitely want to have a presence on Amazon. Some people are worried that if they have both Amazon and Shopify, that it will cannibalize their Shopify sales. I am here to tell you that it will actually probably prevent you from losing the sale. So we've already established Shopify 1 to 2% conversion rate, Amazon 10% plus. Okay, so you're already like minimum 6x, could be more than that on a conversion boost. And so what happens is that somebody will learn about your products, maybe go to your website, but then they like check Amazon before they go through the checkout funnel. Why? Because they don't want to give you your credit card information. They don't trust you. They don't want to wait a week for your item. They want 2-day Prime, ship now, high quality return so I can trust the product. And by the way, some of you who want to break into retail, guess what the first thing a lot of these retailers do? They look at your Amazon reviews. And if you can't make it on Amazon, why would they pull you into the retail store? That's a lot. I hear a lot of feedback like that.
What about cannabis? When's that coming to Amazon, or is it on Amazon?
It won't. I thought it would have by now, to be honest. And so I don't know anything about cannabis. That's definitely not my world, but I will tell you that it's a very hostile category, like even anything hemp related. If you're in hemp today, I would not go to Amazon. I think it's over inundated, well past the opportunity zone for that particular product line.
Oh, really? Interesting. Wow. What do you guys think?
Well,
we're come up on the hour. You guys, I want to be very respectful of everybody's time. What do you guys think about this webinar? Thumbs up, thumbs down? Does it drive you crazy? I kind of liked it myself.
Oh, thank you guys. Good thumbs up.
Speaking of thumbs up, we got to do a quick family shot here. So give a thumbs up or a wave, either one. I'm going to capture a couple screens. Here we go. Screen number one. Screen number two, keep those thumbs up or those hands up. There we go. And the rest of you are shy and you're not on camera. I got them all. There we go.
I'm an introvert too. I totally understand.
You guys, this is, you know, this seems really complicated to me. And it sounds like my opinion, you know, Andrew Krause and I, we talk a lot about licensing. You can go out and do it yourself, but we always tell everybody, look, you can learn a lot. You can do it yourself, but you're going to make a lot of mistakes. Sometimes you want help along the way. I think this is the same situation. I think if you're going to jump on Amazon, you need help along the way, somebody. And I highly recommend watching Stephen's YouTube videos. He's got over 2,000. I can't believe it. I'm like shocked. He's got that many videos giving all that information away for free.
Stephen's very competitive. We only have 1,100. He's like, Andrew, we need to do more videos.
I was like, you're killing me with that 2,000. But if you need more information, please reach out to Stephen. It looks like he knows what he's doing. He's been in the game. He's been beat up. I like a guy that's being beat up, still has a smile on his face, and he's out there trying to educate you to show you how to make some money doing this wonderful place to make money from.
Please type your thank yous to Stephen now before we leave so we can share those with him later. I'm sure he'd appreciate it.
I was not expecting to come on and get that warm welcome. Thank you for that, Stephen. Appreciate it.
Well, I think it's just remarkable, and you've been so highly recommended. Someone I know that's done very well on Amazon, I asked, hey, I need someone on Amazon. He says, well, there's only one person you need, and that's my Amazon guy, and that was you.
that's why I chose the name. Nobody cared who I was. They just said, talk to my Amazon guy, and they referred me. So
perfect. You know,
that's how the name got made.
Wow.
My wife actually named the company, by the way. She asked me in the laundry room. We were doing laundry together. How do people normally introduce you? And I'm like, I don't know. They don't really care who I am. They just say, talk to my Amazon guy. And she looked at me and she's like, go buy that domain right now. And I'm like, okay.
And we should be the licensing guys. Why don't we have that domain, Andrew? We should be
the licensing guys. Because people don't even know what the word licensing means until we teach them. That's why. Okay. But they know what Amazon is.
Pretty much.
So, Stephen, I want to end this on a positive note. If there was one reason you would give why people should investigate more in selling on Amazon, what would it be?
It is the greatest wealth transfer in my entire lifetime. I have met more millionaires created on Amazon than any other thing. You may go on LinkedIn and see all the technology folks, you know, hawking their SaaS product and hopefully getting some venture capital funding. On Amazon, you can bootstrap to millions of dollars in gross sales and become a millionaire just by showing up and doing it yourself. And you don't have to talk to anybody. You can make all your own mistakes yourself. Many, many people just go heads down and grind it. Right? And so what I have typically found is that like what makes a seller successful is tenacity and grit. And you cannot purchase that in a 4-year degree at college. You cannot grab somebody from Harvard and make them into an Amazon seller. I have met more blue collar people, college dropouts, become millionaires on Amazon than I have in any other sector. I really hope my kids get into selling in e-commerce, and hopefully Amazon still exists by then. So my
daughter already is, and we met her. So
I was trying to create the brand and give it to her. So,
but you need more. You need tenacity of grit. You said it yourself. You can't just like your product. You can't just like your. That's not enough. I mean, how much of it is the product, and how much of it is the tenacity and grit and all the work ethic, right? You need a lot of work ethic to do this.
The why is what gets you through those lulls, those super valley lulls that everybody has to face, right? So like when you're getting out of bed and you're like, frick, I got to go do this today. And if you don't have a really powerful why to push you through that, you know, like, you know, insert Mike Tyson quote, the second you get punched in the face, you don't, your plan's out the window. So you got to have a really strong why, but it is difficult, and I like being a realist, but it is so worth it, right? It's just like becoming a father. I'm a father of five kids. Extraordinarily difficult. Nobody teaches you how to be a father. Absolutely worth it. Same thing selling on Amazon. Creating a brand is like having another baby.
Cool.
And I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. I want to definitely thank Stephen for spending time with us and sharing all this information. And Andrew, I love this. This is really kind of fascinating. I learned more on this presentation than I have in a long time. So Stephen, thank you very much. And I want to thank everybody.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Take care. Keep inventing, everybody. See you next time.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.